Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, baseball fans, it's Ben Verlander here to tell you about my Fox Sports podcast, Flippin' Bats. Each week on Flippin' Bats, I sit down for a candid one-on-one interview with players from your favorite MLB teams. Guests like David Ortiz, Lucas Giolito, Ivan Rodriguez, Tyler Glass now, the list goes on, have stopped by my clubhouse, where Flippin' Bats is not only allowed, but encouraged. In addition to interviews, I also talk about the current state of baseball, covering the latest games, news, and of course, Shohei Ohtani updates. Subscribe to Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
In honor of Tiger returning to the Masters, Skip, you revealed your all-time sports Mount Rushmore on your podcast this week. So, for the first time ever, very interesting stuff, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Tiger Woods, Muhammad Ali. Shannon, your turn. What is your all-time sports Mount Rushmore?
The first person that's going on my Mount Rushmore is one, Serena Williams. 23 Grand Slam titles, most in the open era. She won gold medals with her and her sister, singles gold medals. So I'm good with Serena being number one. Number two, I went with Michael Phelps. If you think of anything swimming, he's got to be the first name that comes to your mind. So I went with him. Basketball, got to get one basketball on there. You know who that is. Go James, Big G, Big O, Big A, Big T.
Wait, did you forget about that guy named Jordan?
Did I not tell you Go James?
Well, I thought you were just kidding about
that. I'm not kidding.
I mean, you're actually going to put him on Mount Rushmore?
Mount Rushmore. And last but not least, I went Tiger. Nobody was as dominant as Tiger. I understand he does not have the most majors, but no one was more dominant. His peak was greater than anybody else's peak.
I'll buy that.
And those early 2000s, when he had all four of the slams on his mantle, they were in his house. Nobody else had one. That's the greatest stretch of golf we've ever seen. I don't believe we're ever going to see it again. And so for me, that's where I went. Serena, Michael Phelps, LeBron, Tiger Woods.
Okay. To reiterate, my Rushmore is Jordan and Brady and Ali. And the one we agree on, Tiger Woods. Just off yesterday, he just rose up onto my Mount Rushmore. All right. When it comes to these kind of debates, when you're talking about all-time greats, we're talking about transcendent figures. We have to pick nits, as in nitpick, right? Because it comes down to minor details.
Right.
Your Serena choice is an inspired choice. I give that to you. But now I have to nitpick.
Go ahead.
First issue with Serena. Her big sister, who is a year and 3 months older, did help pave the way for her in ways that, you experienced, because your big brother was pretty great, and I think your big brother should be in the Hall of Fame also. His career got shortened by a neck injury, right? Is that what you'd call it?
Yes.
Like a high disc injury?
Yes.
Okay. Because she had Venus. Remember, Venus was already breaking through. Venus rose to number one in the world before Serena did.
Right.
So she's paving the way. The sisters paved the way together, and the father helped them pave the way, as we saw in the movie. But the point was that Serena had the advantage of big sis, who was a best player in the world even before Serena got to be. So I'm going to dock her a point for that one, because that is a huge advantage for little sister. Then we look at the all-time, and you mentioned in the open era, but a lot of the tennis aficionados, the experts, they still think, and nobody's even going to know who she is, but a lot of people still think that Margaret Court is still the greatest tennis player ever because she had 24 majors to 23 for
Venus. But back then, wasn't nobody going down to Australia to play. And so you got to also understand that with the exception of the clay courts, all the surfaces were the exact same. Everything was grass. Even the U.S. Open was grass. Wimbledon was grass. Yep. Australian Open was grass.
Okay.
It wasn't until in the, I think, late 70s, early 80s that they changed. And now you had all these surfaces. You had clay, you had grass, and you had the hard courts.
Okay, I got it. Now I reference a close friend of mine, a former neighbor of mine in Dallas named Martina Navratilova.
Yes.
All-time just singles titles of all tour events, you know, anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. Just singles titles.
Right.
Martina has 167. That ranks number one all-time. Serena is at 73, so almost, you know, it's down to close to half of what Martina's overall titles were, and that ranks fifth in the world, and the all-time rankings would be Serena's 73 to 167 for Martina.
Okay, yeah, they played every week, though, back then, because the money is not like it is now.
I got it, but I'm just picking nits here. I'm showing you that I'm not sure about that. Now I get to the issue I have with Michael Phelps. The literal pools, to speak, of swimming talent is pretty small because in my era coming up, not a lot of the kids I grew up with wanted to swim. They just don't. I don't know, and sometimes it's opportunity, but a lot of times it's just desire. They just don't, because it is hard, man, because you got to just go swim lap after lap after lap. It's not very fun. So the degree of difficulty for a Michael Phelps, and to some degree for the Williams sisters, but for Serena, the pool of talent is smaller. So the degree of difficulty is lower because in the big sports, and again, this is mostly male, obviously, but if we go football, basketball, baseball, kids everywhere try to be Shannon Sharp. You know, they want to be. So your degree of difficulty was extreme because the talent pool was vast.
But you have to understand, you look at Michael Phelps in the Olympics, Skip, he's competing against the world. You win a football title, it's just basically people from the United States. The football is just basically a state's game. Michael Phelps is competing against people from China, from this place, and from Turkey, and from this and that. And all these gold medals, 23 gold medals, he's 14 clear of the next closest. He won 8 gold medals in a single Olympics in the Beijing Olympics.
Okay.
So when you factor that in, and I get it, it's in the pool, but Skip, he's doing that against the entire world, 190, 200 countries, sent athletes. Now, all of them done sent athletes that's in the pool, but at least 100 of them of these countries sending athletes that's in the pool. Tom Brady, Skip, what other guy, where are people from? And football, where they from? United States. Every once in a while, you get somebody that grew up in Mexico or somebody grew up in one of these African countries.
Maybe some Canadians.
Right, but for the most part, it's the United States.
Okay, but it's a deep pool in the United States because it seems like every kid at some point tries to be a football player, a basketball player, or a baseball player. Am I right?
Okay.
Okay, those are the biggest pools of talent in the country.
I just believe Michael Phelps and Serena was more dominant in theirs because, Skip, the thing is, that's one game. Tom has to be great one game. Michael Phelps has an off finals. It's over. Serena has an off night. It's over. She has to win 6 matches in order to hoist the slam trophy. He has to, like, qualify. And like you said, when it's an individual, I get it. It's a team. Sometimes some of these are relay events. But a lot of times, it's him. It's him.
Okay. If you said he was competing in soccer or whatever other countries call football.
Right.
You got me because the talent pool is vast.
Right.
It's even greater talent pool around the world than our sports are in this country.
Yeah,
right?
I started to put Messi up there, but I thought the Ronaldo fans would be upset. So.
Okay, well, it's a close call. And you could argue Pelé.
You
can argue Maradona.
Yes.
You can go there if you want to go there. And I thought about it, but I didn't. But Michael Phelps' sport, the pool of talent is small even around the world to me. And the other thing that I don't love about swimming, and I covered a lot of Olympic swimming. I've written about swimming. I know swimming.
Yeah.
But what he's doing, swimming has the lowest choke factor to me of any sport anybody tries because it's just straight repetition.
Right.
You're competing against, but you literally stay in your own lane.
Right.
So nobody can affect you. They can't come over and push you or shove you or defend you,
right?
You just do exactly what you've been training to do for years. Boom, just stroke.
Just give the longevity.
Okay, but
I'm saying, 2000 to 216?
Once the gun goes off and you go, then you just do what you do. And there's, you can't choke. I guess you can have a bad day or an off day.
Yeah.
Your body doesn't, your biorhythms are off or whatever. I get that. And it's a one and done, but still, it's hard to choke because there's no ball involved. So there's no hand-eye coordination to speak of under pressure. I got to catch this. I got to throw this. I got to shoot
Skip, you don't think there was pressure to win 8 gold medals in Beijing?
Okay, there's some, but he just does what he does.
Right.
And I'm saying the degree of difficulty for that is much lower than it is in the other sports.
I would agree with you if everybody that he was competing against had the same number of events.
Okay.
But here's the thing. He had to swim 8 events. He had to qualify in those events. Now, obviously, in the relays, they weren't using Michael Phelps to qualify in the relays, but in his individual events. So you might get a guy that all he's doing is the butterfly, or he only doing the freestyle. Michael Phelps has to do all of those.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to, because remember, Skip, he was qualified. He was winning one race, and then he was turning around having to get right back on the relay team.
Okay. Now, I have a huge question for the Hall of Famer, Shannon Sharpe.
Yeah!
Your sport was called football.
Football.
And on your Mount Rushmore, you have 0 football players.
I have 0 football players.
And why is that, Mr. Sharpe?
Because I don't want no football players.
Huh?
Yeah. I got to get somebody else needs some love.
Oh.
People think that's all we talk about. But we know tennis. We know track and field. I almost put Usain Bolt up there.
Mm.
We know swimming. We know a lot of things. I did get Tiger up there. Skip, what you want me to do?
It's the only one we agreed on was Tiger Woods.
Yes!
So you're going tennis, swimming, and golf.
Yes.
Okay? 3, in many people's eyes, minor sports,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And then you go LeBron over Michael Jordan, that most polls have as the greatest athlete ever.
Well, they didn't take my poll. This is my poll.
Okay.
And if I keep talking, I'm going to get a poll and hit him over the head with it.
Okay.
LeBron James is the greatest basketball player. If he can do this, boom, 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 dribble a basketball. If he can do that, shoot the basketball. If he could do this, if he can, it's GOAT James.
Mm. Michael Jordan, I'll say one more time, case closed, was the greatest competitor I ever saw and the greatest big game performer I ever saw, and it ain't even close. 6 championships out of 6 finals with 6 MVPs, game over. So
not for me.
Okay, I appreciate your stubborn pride that you're sticking with it. When we were going to do this question, I was trying to guess who you'd put up there. And I knew LeBron would be number 1 on your list because you got that. That is that was the flag that you planted from the start.
Yeah, and my guy's still going.
You got to replant your flag.
My guy's still going.
As wrong-headed as
it is. I mean, think about it, Skip. I mean, we've been following this man's career since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2022.
Mm.
Who else? Did you know about Tom Brady in high school?
Mm.
Did you know about Michael Jordan in high school? Serena was so good, she said, I don't even want to go to school. They give me a racket.
Yep.
And they driving around in that old van.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad said, hey, my girl's going to be the greatest tennis player. He said, that baby girl going to be the greatest tennis player to ever live.
Mm. Okay. So as I guessed your list, I thought, well, maybe you'll go for your old quarterback in Denver because you got to put football has to be represented on Mount Rushmore. I thought maybe he'll put number 7.
Actually, no. If I'd have put a football player, but I'd have put Jerry.
Jerry Rice.
I'd put Jerry Rice.
All right. I was even thinking of Jim Brown, man.
No. I'd put Jerry.
Okay,
it's always a toss-up between me, between Jerry and LT, but I'd put Jerry.
What do I always tell you about sports in general? The hardest position to play in all sports is called quarterback.
Right.
And it happens to be a position played in your sport of football. You cannot have a Rushmore without a quarterback, and you cannot have any Rushmore without the quarterback, the pro football GOAT, the Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr., who has won 7 Super Bowls, and the first 6 came with game-winning drives in the fourth quarter or overtime.
Well,
impossibly great.
I'm going to ask you this, because when I say LeBron and game 7s, They say Michael Jordan never needed the game seven. Mm-hmm. So my question to you, why would Tom Brady need game-winning drives if he's what you said he is? He's so superior. He should have never had nobody. He should have had to come back. Mm-hmm. So at some point in time, he was not doing what he was supposed to do, or his team wouldn't have been behind. I'm just using your logic.
I don't use that logic.
Oh, yeah, you
because
do.
Because all I know is he had to overcome a coach. Forced the locker room to near mutiny most of the time, a coach that a lot of players did not want to play for.
They love him.
A quote-unquote defensive genius who allowed Eli Manning to go 75 yards for a touchdown after Brady had done what he always does in Super Bowls with a game-winning drive with 2 minutes left. And Belichick spit the bit and allowed Eli Manning to beat Brady with a 75-yard, not a field goal drive, a touchdown drive.
Well, hold on.
How can you defend that?
I mean, Tom Brady got beat by defensive teams that ain't got no Hall of Fame on them. Well, that in Indy, that 2010 Super Bowl, what got going to the Hall of Fame on that defense?
You're talking about the second Eli?
Yeah, the second Eli. Which guy? They did get one. They got straight in that first Super Bowl in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
One Hall of Famer took down the whole Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got a guy in the Super Bowl. Y'all got a Hall of Fame. Y'all got Randy. Y'all got Tom. Tom going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Actually, one non-Hall of Famer took down Brady in that game, and he was about a 5'8" slot receiver named Wes Welker who failed to catch a ball.
Oh, so now you pulling the Giselle. Huh. My husband can't throw and catch the ball. Really, Skip, you really going to put that on Wes Welker? If your guy's what he said he is, hit the man in the chest, the 8 and the 3.
Shannon Sharp would have caught that
pass.
That ain't
what Wes Welker ain't Shannon Sharp.
If Wes Welker catches that pass, we're having a different conversation.
Hold on, whoa. You see what you do? So in other words, Tom Brady plays a dependent position also.
Mm-hmm.
So he's dependent on his guys making plays. So those game-winning drives are not solely Tom Brady.
Mm.
And also, two of those drives ended with what? On an Adam Vinatieri foot.
Mm-hmm.
So hold on, wait a minute.
The truth was Tom Brady was mostly dependent upon an overrated coach.
Well, stop
whose
it.
Defense against Philadelphia allowed 41 points to the backup quarterback because mysteriously and still inexplicably, Belichick benched Malcolm Butler, who had played the most defensive snaps during the regular season for the entire Super Bowl game. I don't know why. Felt a little sabotage-y to me. Felt like Coach was pretty jealous of quarterback.
Man, you know what, Skip, man. You know Coach Belichick.
Guess what the quarterback did in that game? He broke the all-time playoff record with 505 passing, 505
and,
yards.
And what does
put up 33 points on a top-5 defense and lost because of his coach.
What does that have to do? Did he win?
He should have won that one.
No,
he should have two more. He should have 9 Super Bowls.
Well, he should have lost. He should have lost the one to Seattle. He should have lost that one. He should have lost the first one to the Rams because Carolina believe there was some shady business going on.
Yeah, thanks to the coach. Yep. What'd they call him? Belichick?
You know who gave him that name?
Huh.
Coach Shula.
He did. He called him Belichick. Well, coach the great Hula. Don Shula called him Belichick, right?
He gave that name. He did.
And
absolutely
to close
did.
My case on Tom Brady, all he did at age 43 was say, you know what? I'm going to go down there to Tampa, and I'm going to take over the Buccaneers with the worst winning percentage in the history of sports as a franchise,
right.
A team that went 7-9 the year before. I'm going to immediately transform them into a Super Bowl champion during a pandemic in which I can't even go in the park and throw to my new receivers. I can't play a single preseason game. I get thrown to the Wolves at New Orleans against our arch rival in my first ever game in a pandemic season, and I still live to tell about it with a Super Bowl championship at the end. Way to go, Mount Rushmore.
Nope.
That is Crushmore is what
nope,
that is.
Not me.
And Shannon
not
Sharp,
me.
A Brady hater, mm-hmm. won't even allow Tom Brady to see the light of play up on Mount Rushmore?
No, he's not going on my Mount Rushmore. And my second Mount Rushmore is Richard Petty, Muhammad Ali, Messi, and Usain Bolt.
Mm. How could you not put the great Muhammad Ali up at the top? He was my idol growing up. He was my favorite, quote-unquote, player in all of sports.
If you noticed, I didn't put any because I didn't let off the field, off the court, off the whatever.
I didn't factor it at all.
Way into my decision.
Okay.
Because the guys that's on Mount Rushmore, in the literal sense, If you look at what some of the things that they did, they ain't got no business having their ass up there.
Okay, fine. Well, I didn't do that either, okay. One way or okay. the other, okay. like for better or for worse. Any off-field.
And you know why I put Serena up there? Mm. Until somebody wins a Super Bowl mm-hmm. or win a World Series, and they be like 8 months pregnant, mm. Serena won the Australian Open. Pregos.
Okay. All right, okay.
She number one on my list.
Yeah,
but
I told you, inspired choice, but... She had some help from her big sister.
Yeah, no, her sister ain't went over in them single titles.
Huh.
Her sister helped her with them double titles. Sure, yeah. Absolutely. Huh. But not with them single titles.
Did she not pave the way?
Yeah, Skip, I still got to walk over that road. My brother paved the way, but he ain't catch no balls for
Mm-mm.
me. I appreciate it. He knows what I think of him.
Yeah, but a lot of people had played football before you.
Yeah.
Like a lot of African Americans have played football, but in this case, Big Sister opened a bunch of doors.
Well,
for
there was
sister.
I mean, there was a Zena Garrison, there was mm-hmm. Lord McNeil, there was a Alfie Gibson mm-hmm. who actually
well,
won.
Now you're going way back.
Yeah. So there was a few, but
not at the top.
Not to this. I mean, Zena Garrison went to the Wimbledon.
Great
I think she
stuff,
ended up
guys. But we got to leave that mm-hmm. one there. I tell you what,
there.
If there was a Mount Rushmore of clever puns and nicknames, both of you would be on mine. All right, still to come today, one of the Lakers' big three might be on his way out the door.
Really?
We'll discuss
really?
That coming up next. No mercy.
Hello, Undisputed listeners. This is Skip Bayless. Weekdays on Undisputed, I debate my co-host Shannon Sharp on the biggest sports news of the day. But now it is time for me to unleash in a brand new way. Introducing the Skip Bayless Show. My opportunity to share behind-the-scenes stories about things I've seen and confrontations I've had from decades covering the NFL and NBA. This is an opportunity to go so much deeper into solo opinions that just don't fit in rapid-fire debate. I will respond to your no-holds-barred question. You can ask me anything about why I've said what I've said or about what goes on off-camera on Undisputed. Your question should be as provocative as you want. My answer sure will be. New episodes of The Skip Bayless Show will come out each week. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever else you get your podcasts.
No mercy. When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo, to that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Skip and Shannon revealed their all-time sports Mount Rushmores earlier in the show today. And Tiger was the only athlete to appear on both. Pretty fitting with what he's doing right now. Skip also had Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, and Muhammad Ali. Shannon, you had Michael Phelps, Serena Williams, and LeBron James. Skip, let's start with you. What's your biggest problem with Shannon's Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, what's your problem with my Mount Rushmore?
I have 999 problems with your Mount Rushmore, but I'll start with number one. You, Mr. Sharp, reside in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I do.
And I'm looking harder and harder at your Mount Rushmore, and I see no pro football players on Mount Rushmore.
Zero.
I do not understand it, because furthermore, I cannot fathom how you could overlook the greatest football player ever, who plays the hardest position to play in any sport. And that guy has only won 7 Super Bowls. He should have won 9. He played well enough to win 9 Super Bowls.
Played poor enough to lose a couple,
too. In a pandemic year, he turned the Buccaneers into a Super Bowl champion at age 43 on a torn MCL. And he should have been the MVP last year at 44. And now Gronkowski is saying, don't be surprised if he plays until he's 50. It is legendary upon legendary upon legendary. He is the greatest leader to me in the history of sports because of how he shielded the Patriots locker room from Bill Belichick and kept everybody in line, winning in spite of Bill Belichick, and then went and took the Patriot way to Tampa Bay and instilled and installed that in a pandemic season and turned a 7-9 team into a bunch of winners. He taught them how to win. It's just vintage, all-time Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. leadership. And all of the above is pure Mount Rushmore. He has to be on Mount Rushmore because football has to be represented, and he is the football player in the history of this game.
Well, if I had put a football player, I would have put Jerry Rice, because I believe it's a lot easier to be greater longer if athleticism is not required. Hence Jack Nicklaus winning the Masters at 46. You remember Tom Watson a couple of years ago, Skip, he was like 50-52, and he finished in second place at the British Open. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying I put Jerry because Jerry was so...
He's older than that. He's like 59.
Yeah, he might have been, but I'm saying I would have put Jerry because Jerry was still so productive, and it's a lot harder because athleticism was still being required of Jerry. Jerry did not have the protections that Tom Brady. At that time when Jerry played, there was no defensive receiver. There was no illegal hand, that 5-yard incidental hand check that they use now. Jerry played up under the old rules throughout his entire career. So if I had to put a Mount Rushmore player, I would have put, and I said it, it's either Jerry Rice or LT. Mm-hmm. I would have went with Jerry. So for me and Tom, Skip, athleticism is not required to play the quarterback position. He's getting by, and that's not to diminish what he's doing. Please don't say, but it's not like he has to, it's not like he's Lamar or he had these great physical skills that diminish. His thing was always pocket presence, understanding where I need to go with the football, knowing where I'm vulnerable, and taking advantage of that. So for me, that's not to discredit him, but I'm always going to side with a guy that's athleticism is required for him to perform at a level that he's still performing at over a guy that's playing great, but athleticism is not a bigger key, as bigger factor, whether or not he plays great or not.
Harder position to play, quarterback or receiver?
It's harder to play quarterback.
Like times 100 harder.
But
yours is completely dependent on the quarterback's ability to read, react, and hit you with an accurate pass.
What's more likely? We see a 44, a 41, 42, 43, a 44, 45, 46-year-old wide receiver, or another 45, or 43, 44, 45-year-old quarterback. Which do you think is more likely?
Well, obviously quarterback, but I grew up in an era in which studies were done that every great quarterback hit the wall at age 38. It was like clockwork.
Yeah,
you could just see it.
But Skip, but they didn't have the nutrition. They didn't have the workout. Every position, for the most part, barring injury, are going to play longer because guys understand they're able to take better care of themselves. They eat better. And the training, the advancement of medicine is so much greater now than it was then in the beginning. So, yes, every position is going to play longer. But what's required for you to play quarterback longer and what's required for you to play running back or defensive back or running back longer is so much greater than to play quarterback. Skip, that's all I'm saying. That's not the knock on Tom. Tom is doing, hey, all the other quarterbacks are under the same. They get the, well, they don't get the same protection. Some quarterbacks get protected a little bit more, some a little bit less. But notwithstanding, Tom has done a great job of understanding that, okay, this is where I need to go into football. This is where I'm vulnerable on this play. Hey, you know what? Throw this ball out of bounds. I'm not taking no hit, unnecessary hit.
Okay, you're dismissing him as if he were just a game manager.
No, no!
And all I know is his first six Super Bowls were won with game-winning drives in the fourth quarter or overtime. That Skip. Is impossibly
Skip.
Clutch.
Skip, the man, Skip, he got 50 yards on the last drive. He had 141 yards for the game.
You're talking about against the St. Louis
against
Rams.
Against the Rams, yes.
Okay, it was some last drive, though.
But
John Madden was up above in the box saying, I think they should shut it down with the young quarterback.
But what happens if Vinatieri misses that kick? They go to overtime and lose.
Well, obviously.
But, so another
but what if Tom hadn't completed five straight passes on the final drive to get them in position?
But it was Vinatieri's foot.
Okay, but that's the rules of football. You get to kick it, and that's I've never liked the rule, but that's the rule, and he took advantage of the rule. But it took him completing five straight passes, pretty key passes in that last drive, to get them in position.
He did that.
It's called clutch. I've said this. Michael Jordan's the greatest competitor, greatest big game player I've ever seen in any sport. But I've also said that Tom Brady has proven to be clutch more often than Michael because Michael just didn't have this many opportunities.
What?
Brady has opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, what? And he thrives and survives and flourishes.
Well, Skip, it's a different kind of clutchness because the finality of every game in football in the playoffs versus a game one or a game two or a game three in the playoff series. So the totality of it, the finality of it, if Michael Jordan loses game one, okay, I still got four chances to beat you. If Tom Brady loses one game in the playoffs, be it wild card, divisional, championship, it's over.
Mm.
It's over.
I don't know why, but I sniff the faint aroma of Brady hate coming from across the table.
But see, that's the
I'm not sure.
No, but see, that's the thing. Anytime someone has a disagreement with you about Brady or Jordan, it's jealousy. It's hate. There is no hate.
I never say there's Jordan hate, but there's definitely Brady hate.
Why is there Brady hate?
And by the way, he is Michael Jordan disguised as the corny dad next door.
No,
that's who he is.
Skip.
He is Psycho Tom. You want to talk about competitor?
I just believe that Jerry Dewitt being able to compete at the level that he competed at, that late in his career, playing that position, Skip, that's still a position that talent, Tom is talented. But Skip, what's asked of him? The skills that's at what's asked of Tom versus a receiver, a running back, or DB?
Okay.
Come on.
But he did get to play with Joe Montana, and he did get to play with Steve Young, and he did get to play with Rich Gannon when he won the MVP.
I'm saying later in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why Rich won that MVP was because Jerry played at an extremely high level. Go look at Jerry.
So did Tim Brown, by the way.
Go look at Jerry in that Super Bowl in which they got the brakes beat off him. He was outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's not the degree of difficulty of Tom Brady.
It is.
You have to have him on your Mount Rushmore. He's the greatest at...
It's my Mount Rushmore.
Okay, it's what has become America's pastime. It's not baseball anymore. It's actually NFL.
Well, I put him up on there. And I got Serena. I got Michael Phelps. I got Goat James. And I got El Tigre.
You got tennis and swimming over the National Football League.
So many different ways you could go with that, guys. All excellent points. And speaking of all-time greats, man, we had a performance in the NBA last night that's going to go down in the record books.
Season's not over yet,
but one guy might have just ended the MVP race.
It's been
phenomenal performance.
It's been
Skip and Shannon debate that up next.
No mercy.